Is the worker making your lunch living out of a tent? I'm David Brancaccio in Los Angeles. First, after a bipartisan vote in the House last night, the Senate is now expected to approve a deal to allow the government to pay what it owes for the next 2 years. This would avert a potentially catastrophic default and usher in an era of restricted government spending at a time of escalating needs. As part of our project on homelessness this week, people who have jobs but no safe shelter. Fast food workers make up 11% of all homeless workers in California, according to a report from the nonprofit Economic Roundtable. Daniel Flaming is president of the organization. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
Fast food workers in California, that's quite a percentage of people who are unsheltered.
It is. It's a large labor force. It's a lot of people with part-time hours and low wages and a hard time paying rent.
Is that the root cause of this? The fact that the pay, the compensation is low for this type of work?
Yes. The workers that we see when we go into a fast food restaurant, they work an average of about 26 hours a week. The cutoff point for being entitled to health care paid by the employer in California is 30 hours. And a full-time job is over 35 hours by most other definitions. So the employers, in most cases, don't have to pay health insurance for these workers, and that's a way of cutting private costs.
So keeping the hours lower in a given week so they're not counted as full-time employees, but the net effect is you need more people to do the work, but that means you're paying people less.
And it also means that the taxpayers are paying for health insurance coverage through Medicaid. So close to half of these workers get their health care through publicly funded insurance.
You can look at it through the other porthole here, which is housing's not affordable, and it makes those wages look low.
It's a double whammy, both expensive housing in cities like Los Angeles and also very low wages for these workers.
And tell me about some of the policies that would help align pay of fast food workers with what is needed to just get by and actually have a roof over your head. So it has something to do with minimum wage.
Raising the wage floor for the entire industry is one piece of the answer. Standards about scheduling, both number of hours and predictability of scheduling, are another piece of it. And we don't see a path toward achieving this without the public sector setting standards for the industry.
Right. In other words, some kind of government mandate for this. I mean, is there legislation pending?
There actually has been legislation approved. There was Assembly Bill 257 in California, which would have created this government oversight. And the fast food industry was able to get a referendum on next year's ballot on the law. So it's on hold right now.
Daniel Flaming is president of the Economic Roundtable, which carried out this report that was commissioned by the Service Employees International Union. Mr. Flaming, thank you very much.
Thank you, David. It's been a pleasure.
A fast food industry group rejects these figures and called this report biased. The Economic Roundtable denies bias and called for fast food employers to release their payroll data to allow further analysis.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Some resort towns are having trouble keeping workers who can't afford a place to live nearby. Some are offering cash incentives to landlords if they rent to locals. Here's Rachel Cohen of Boise State Public Radio.
Amber Kennedy worked at a pizza shop for the summer last year in central Idaho. She was hoping to stick around in the resort town of Ketchum, but other seasonal workers told her and her roommates, don't even try.
A lot of our friends worked and lived down here in the winters, and they were like, no, it's impossible to find housing.
But they lucked out. They rented a 3.5-bedroom log cabin right in downtown Ketchum.
We're able to walk everywhere, the grocery store, wherever, which has been amazing this winter.
Kennedy found her place through something called Lease to Locals. It's a program for property owners with empty houses or Airbnbs. It pays them to rent to local workers. Kennedy now works full-time at a real estate firm. Her roommates work at the ski resort in town, a bar, and a nonprofit. Jim Slanitz is their landlord and also a city council member.
It's hard to live in a mountain town, and it's hard to survive, and it's hard to find housing.
Ketchum is spending $500,000 to launch the Lease to Locals incentives. Slanitz's home used to be listed on Airbnb. Now renting to locals, he gets monthly rent plus $18,000 from the city. He says this is a quick fix to the area's housing shortage.
You start the program and people are in there within a month or two.
And it's cheaper than building housing. Ketchum is home to the Sun Valley Ski Resort. Second, homeowners and remote workers flocked here when COVID-19 hit. Last year, the median house or condo sold for $1.3 million.
The common theme is COVID made things worse. We thought it might get better. It's not getting better.
Colin Froelich is the founder of the company PlaceMe, which runs Lease to Locals. He says convincing property owners to be part of the program is a challenge.
We have to get them to do something they're not already doing. It's a change of behavior.
Lease to Locals started in Truckee, California in 2020. Since then, dozens of communities have reached out about bringing it to their towns. The program is now in 5 markets, and some communities have started offering their own landlord incentives. Megan Lawson, an economist at Headwaters Economics, says these programs can be a powerful tool for local governments, but
they also need to be thinking about long-term housing strategies, ways to increase housing supply for the people who want to live and work in these towns.
Plus, the incentives only last 1 year. In Ketchum, the hope is that landlords will start to see renting long-term is a good thing and even provides a service to the community. In Ketchum, Idaho, I'm Rachel Cohen for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.